Hello and welcome to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Belinda Walia, and today's conversation explores one of the greatest challenges we all face. Not what happens to us, but how we respond when life doesn't go to plan. Life will test every one of us. We'll all experience setbacks, that self-doubt, uncertainty, even failure and moments that challenge our confidence. Yet while some people remain trapped by those experiences, others find a way to grow stronger, rediscover themselves, and move forward with greater clarity, resilience, and purpose. So what makes the difference? Can resilience really be learned? Can we break free from the patterns that keep us stuck and create lasting transformation? Well, today's guest has dedicated her career to helping people answer those very questions. Sophia Suri is an award-winning resilience coach, integrative psychotherapist, best-selling co-author of Transforming Your Life, Volume 9, where incredible people share their stories showing the strength of the human spirit. And Sophia is the founder of Manifest Health Through Alignment. After leaving a successful career in finance to pursue her passion for psychology, she now helps founders, executives, and high performers overcome fear, strengthen emotional resilience, and create lasting personal and professional transformation. Sophia, it is an absolute pleasure to welcome you to the show.
Thank you so much, Belinda. Thank you for having me in your show.
It's an absolute pleasure. Now, Sophia, let's begin with your own journey. What inspired you to leave a successful career in finance and pursue psychotherapy and coaching?
Well, I often say that I didn't leave finance because I wasn't fulfilled. On paper, everything looked great. There was a growing sense that I was living according to external expectations rather than who I was truly. And this led me on what I now describe as a journey to returning to myself. In reality, when I say it this way, it sounds very straightforward, but the path wasn't straight at all. It involved a lot of trial and error, personal challenges, ongoing health struggles, and a deep curiosity about why some people thrive when there is adversity, while others remain stuck. And all of this brought together psychotherapy, neuroscience, health optimization, somatic work, and coaching. And today, I help others to build resilience from the inside out, so they don't have to wait for a burnout or a crisis before actually reconnecting to themselves.
And I think that's a really important point, and I appreciate you sharing that, Sophia. I think so many people will recognize that feeling of everything looking successful on the outside while something doesn't quite feel aligned on the inside. And it's such a powerful reminder that resilience isn't just about getting through difficult times. It's about building a life that's authentic before a crisis forces us to make change. So looking back, what has been the defining moment that shaped the person you are today? So what was that one aha moment, that one moment where you thought, okay, the things around me, everything in my life has to change right at this point?
It was, I believe, when I woke up one morning and I basically had a promotion to a better title and a great salary. And I just started thinking, I just had this feeling of there is something wrong. I'm not really myself. What is it? There is basically everything in terms of accomplishments. Everything that I wanted to accomplish, I've accomplished. I am exactly where I always dreamt to be. And this, I'm talking about social expectations mainly, but also the expectations that are, that then later became my own expectations that I internalized. And there was this sense of emptiness. And I previously, I mean, prior to that, I did have this questioning. I did go through this questioning. I did explore other industries, and I did take other courses in industries that are completely different, just to name a few, renewable energy, art. And it just felt like none of this was actually something that made me feel connected to myself, true to myself. There was a feeling of disconnection, of not being myself. And after all this this exploration, I started assessing. So if this is not financial, and it's not the other ways that I've explored, what is it exactly? And what is it that makes me feel alive? That makes me feel like I'm truly myself. And I think the main question that was the actual trigger was, who am I as a person? And how am I as a person if I no longer have this career? If I no longer have this position, who am I truly as a person? And this was, I think, the triggering question. It was a long list of questions that I asked to myself. So an introspection, I would say, that took a long time. But that was the main question. And then the following question was, who was I when I was a child? And how was I? What is it that I'm very good at? And all of this led me to what I do today and the person who I am today.
And that's such an honest reflection, Sophia. And again, once again, thank you for sharing that. I think many of our listeners will relate to it, because we often tie our identity to our job title or our achievements. Or sometimes, and this is very recent, a lot of what we believe we are is tied to what other people expect of us. So when we strip those things away, it can leave us wondering who we truly are and what our essence is about. And I think that's a question more people need to ask themselves. And it's a very important question. So I know that you help people ask questions like that and become more resilient. So what does resilience actually mean, and why is it so important?
So for many years, I don't know if all your guests are the same, but I'm a book lover, and I love reading about various definitions, views, and when it comes to resilience, I read a lot. There was one definition, the main definition, many, many years ago. They used to describe resilience as bouncing back. And I used to always define resilience as being the ability to adapt to change. And following that, I came across a metaphor that I absolutely adored about resilience being like a bamboo, meaning it bends, but it doesn't break despite the storms. And all of those definitions are valuable, but my understanding changed. It really evolved. And this is actually the result of both research and my own experience. Today, I see resilience as our capacity to adapt while remaining connected to ourselves. It is about creating internal safety to respond intentionally rather than automatically, and this even in life's most difficult moments.
Yes, and that's a great definition, and I really like that. That's beautifully said, Sophia. Creating that sense of internal safety really does change how we respond to life's challenges rather than simply reacting to them, and a very important point. But you see, when people react, it's coming from a place of fear. Often fear stops people from pursuing the life they truly want. So why do you think fear has such a powerful hold over us?
Fear, especially unconscious fear, is what dictates our behavior. I would say that fear stops us from being ourselves. It stops us from accomplishing great things. But the thing about fear is it's something that is the consequence of, I would say, the upbringing, the traumas, the challenges, and then it starts becoming something unconscious that not everyone is aware of, but that actually becomes a stumbling block when it comes to well-being, mental health, as well as success in general.
Yes, absolutely. And it's one of those things that I think it's a very important point there, but fear can really shape so much of our behavior without us even realizing it, as you said, and recognizing that is often the first step towards real change. Understanding yourself enough, knowing who you are, being very self-aware and self-accepting. And I think once you discover those things, you're able to be more compassionate and kinder to yourself. And many successful people appear confident on the outside because they feel they've actually overcome that fear. But they do feel very different internally when you do talk to successful people. Sometimes they do admit to that, and they say that they feel different internally and they are really nervous about something and they're not sure about something. Why is that? Why do so many people appear so confident on the outside and display something completely different, but when internally they're trying to really battle with those thoughts?
Well, the first thing we've got to, or that is worth mentioning, is that capability and confidence are not the same thing. When we talk about fear, we have to make sure we don't forget that fear is a normal biological response and that fear is supposed to protect us. Now, the challenge is when our brains start treating growth as something to be scared of. That when the brain starts treating growth as mistakes or associating them to mistakes or rejections. And so then we start having those beliefs over time that we fear not making mistakes. We actually fear what those mistakes say about us. Because we basically associate the mistakes or the fear of making mistakes of we are not enough. We are flawed somehow.
Yeah. Really valuable distinction, Sophia, where confidence isn't the same as capability. And so often it's the story we attach to our mistakes that holds us back, not the mistakes themselves. So again, thank you so much for sharing such important points. We're going to take a short commercial break now for a word from our sponsors. You're listening to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Belinda Walia, and today I'm joined by the wonderful Sophia Suri. Before the break, we explored resilience, fear, and the experiences that shape who we become. Let's continue our fascinating conversation. Welcome back, Sophia.
Thank you.
Now, Sophia, how much of our adult behavior is influenced by beliefs we developed during childhood?
That's a very, very good question. Many of our limiting beliefs actually come from our childhood, our family messages, from school, from our relationships, like from childhood all the way up to adulthood. And what happens is those beliefs become somehow automatic, and we start operating unconsciously simply because we mistake the beliefs with facts, and these beliefs are actually interpretations rather than facts. The thing is, most of these beliefs are unconscious, and it's only when we do the work, it's only once we do make them conscious that we become aware of them. So I would say many of our beliefs, including our limiting beliefs, are unconscious. We're not aware of them, and we have to do the work in order to discover them.
Absolutely. We have to really dig deep and discover who we are and actually get to know ourselves. And this is why I often speak about building that healthy self-relationship. And your point is so insightful, Sophia, because we often accept our beliefs as facts, as you said, without ever questioning where they came from. And it's important that we understand that it's our environment. It could be our social circles, our parent carers, our friendships, our relationships. But once we become aware of them, that's the first step. Once we become aware of them, we bring them into consciousness, and we have the opportunity then to change those thoughts. And Sophia, you often talk about lasting transformation rather than simply managing symptoms. What does real transformation look like?
I truly appreciate you asking this question. Many high performers, and I'm referring to high performers simply because they are the people I work with, they already have all those superficial changes. They manage to operate the changes on the surface. For example, many of them have a great morning routine. They've implemented healthy habits. They do have the tools to implement productivity hacks. But all of this is not enough. These behaviors are actually built through old fears, old pain, or even survival. And they haven't necessarily done the work to address what is underneath the behavior. The real transformation starts with awareness. You have to first recognize the pattern, obviously without judgment, and then to become curious about what is this pattern trying to protect. It might have made sense in the past or at some point in time to actually have this pattern, but they might no longer serve you today. So once there is awareness, the next step is creating internal safety. And how do we do that? Well, we basically adopt a new or different response. And we do that by repeating a new response over time and until the nervous system gradually learns that growth is actually not dangerous and lasting change is actually possible. So a real transformation for me is not so much about becoming a new person. It's very much about releasing the old patterns that no longer serve us.
And that's a very good point as well. And I think, again, it comes back down to that acceptance, doesn't it, Sophia? Whether people are able to become aware and then self-accepting of the good, the bad, the ugly aspects of self.
Yes.
And if they are able to do that, how they then going to grow is how they're going to treat those thoughts, those inner that inner dialogue and help themselves progress. And I really like the way you've explained what you did about the shifts, the focus from simply doing more to understanding ourselves more deeply. It sounds as the real transformation isn't about becoming someone else. I like that. And I think it's about letting go of those patterns, as you said. I think that's a message our listeners will really connect with. And as you said, you work with founders and executives every day. But what are the biggest emotional challenges they face that people rarely see?
High performers. Well, I think the fact that you're pointing at it is great, because from the outside, high performers actually come across being very resilient, simply because, or at least the successful ones come across very resilient because they're successful. But in reality, they are incredibly good at functioning in survival mode. From the outside, they look confident, they look productive, they are in control, they are leading in business, making high-stake decisions, and most importantly, they continue achieving. But internally, there is this chronic stress, emotional exhaustion, self-doubt, perfectionist, or even a sense of feeling disconnected to themselves. And this comes mainly from the fact that they are high achievers. They just feel like they cannot show vulnerability because there's this image that they have to maintain. I'm a high achiever. I'm doing great. I'm successful. Any goal I set, I actually managed to reach. But from the inside, there is something in their internal world that doesn't feel necessarily right, and often there are silent struggles, and the body often keeps the score. It's very much imprinted in their body. They start feeling it, whether it's the sleep patterns, the digestive system, the immune system, just to name a few. And as I said earlier, self-doubt. They also can struggle from imposter syndrome. Because yes. What is interesting is imposter syndrome doesn't actually disappear with success. It can actually be amplified. Because the more responsibility they have, the greater the fear of making mistakes, or the greater the fear of not being enough or not being good enough, although they are all like all the evidence to that show or prove the contrary. So this is what is happening, and these are the main struggles. Now, what I would like to mention is that they usually delay seeking support. And it's something that research has shown, that they do struggle with mental health problems, and because of the nature, their own nature and the nature of the work, they basically delayed seeking for help, which makes it worse.
So glad you shared all of that, especially the part of imposter syndrome. I think that's really important. And Sophia, you're absolutely right. Success on the outside doesn't always reflect what's happening internally. I've come across that often, and I think many people will recognize that. It's a powerful reminder that resilience isn't about appearing strong all the time. It's about looking after what's happening beneath that surface. And so many people assume success protects us from that self-doubt, as you said, but when in reality it can actually magnify it. I also think it's a vital reminder that our listeners start asking for that help. It's not a sign of weakness, and I feel so many people are very reluctant to ask for that help, and it's really important that they do, and they can turn to people like yourself to guide them, to help them through whatever it is that's challenging, that emotional exhaustion that you mentioned earlier as well. Now, some of the tools that we use are therapy and also coaching and mentoring, but a very good tool is books. And I know that you're a fond reader of books, but you're also best-selling co-author of Transforming Your Life in Volume 9. So what inspired you to share your story? Was it the clients that you were seeing, or was it really coming from a personal space? Because it's lovely that you did share that initially, but what do you hope readers can take away from it? Can it be used as a guide?
It can be used as not only a guide, but as an inspiration that change is possible, yeah. That healing and transformation are possible, even if things don't actually go according to plan. Sometimes life throws things at us that we don't necessarily expect, that we're not necessarily ready for. So it does shake us, but it doesn't have to define us. What I wanted above all was for the readers to understand that challenges can become turning points. If they're really keen and willing to learn from the challenges, instead of letting them define them, they can actually benefit from it. And it can actually be a breakthrough.
I think it's incredibly reassuring for people to hear that our challenges don't have to define our future. And your book, your contribution to the book, sounds like a reminder that even the most difficult experiences can become a catalyst for growth and transformation. And many people know what they need to do. Even, I'm sure, people who are listening, they may say to themselves, oh, I already know that. I know what I need to do. Yet they still struggle to take action. So thank you so much, Sophia, for your valuable insights. We're going to take another commercial break for a word from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Belinda Walia, and today we're talking with the amazing Sophia Suri about resilience, emotional well-being, and creating lasting transformation. Let's continue. I'm glad you could join us today, Sophia.
Thank you for having me as your guest.
It's my pleasure. Now, Sophia, how can someone become mentally stronger without becoming emotionally disconnected?
Well, by, I would say, building resilience. And when I say building resilience, there are daily habits that can be implemented. I'm gonna name those habits as I believe they are very useful for anyone who listens to us. Maintaining supportive relationships, regular physical activity, I would say good sleep as well. Self-compassion rather than self-criticism. This is something you often mention in your work.
Yeah.
Developing meaning and purpose. That's what I usually often mention in my work. Flexible skills and mindfulness and stress regulation or self-regulation. This is very useful, and these are healthy habits or daily habits that help people become stronger mentally and emotionally more balanced.
Absolutely. And they're wonderful habits to develop, and I think they're very helpful as well. And there is this such practical strategies that we can implement in everyday life, Sophia. And I love that you've highlighted some simple daily habits, because resilience isn't built overnight. We know this. It's built through the small choices we make consistently. And even if you take one habit from what you've shared and you make that consistent, it doesn't all have to happen all at once. Say, for example, sleeping on time, not scrolling, not keeping your device near you where you're distracted, but actually sleeping on time and waking up in consistently in the same hour, just taking a walk daily. Those small habits, again, not all at once, but slowly and surely, they're things everyone, every single one of us can start putting into practice even from today. So thank you for sharing that. And if someone listening today feels that overwhelm, or they feel stuck, or they're lacking confidence, apart from those tools that you've already shared, where should they really begin?
Well, removing judgment.
That's really important. I'm glad you said that.
So removing judgment, and then asking themselves, what story am I telling myself right now?
Yeah.
Is it actually true, or is it a belief that I've been carrying for many years? These are the questions to ask. And then, as you mentioned, it's about the small steps, because you cannot, although I'm a true believer and I encourage people to actually try to change their beliefs and make sure that they do share this belief, which is, I can change my life if I want to. You cannot transform your life in just one day, your entire life within one day. This is not something that is realistic, and that's not something doable. But you can actually, you have choices. People do have the choice. You can choose one small action every day, and this will enable you not to feel overwhelmed. So small and consistent actions is what creates lasting transformation.
Absolutely. And what is the biggest misconception people have about resilience and personal growth?
The biggest one is that if you are resilient, you don't struggle. Well, you can be resilient and you can actually struggle at the same time. The main difference between people who are resilient and people who aren't is that resilient people don't stay stuck. They learn to adapt, they ask for support, they regulate themselves, and they continue moving forward.
And that's wonderful, thank you. And finally, Sophia, if there is one message you would like every listener to remember about resilience, courage, and living a meaningful life, what would it be?
You don't have to become someone else to create lasting change. The most important element is to reconnect with who you truly are.
And that's a beautiful note to end the show with. Thank you so much, Sophia. Thank you for joining me today. And so one of the biggest takeaways from today's conversation is that resilience isn't about pretending everything is okay or never experiencing fear or self-doubt. It's about recognizing that resilience can be developed, and also recognizing that setbacks are part of being a human, and that every challenge presents an opportunity to learn, to grow, and become stronger. Life will always be unpredictable, but how we respond to those moments is something we can all work on, As Sophia has reminded us today, lasting transformation begins not by changing who we are, but by changing how we understand ourselves. I hope today's conversation has encouraged you to reflect on your own life, your own story, and perhaps most importantly, your own potential. A huge thank you to Sophia Suri for sharing her wisdom and experience with us. So, Sophia, if any of our listeners wish to connect with you, where can they find you?
They can find me on my social media. I'm very active on Instagram, and my handle is @Sophia_Suri.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much for sharing. And thank you to all of you for listening to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. If you enjoyed today's episode, please do share it with someone who might benefit from hearing this conversation. I'm going to play a part of the song Brave by Sarah Bareilles. I'm Belinda Walia. Until next time, take care of yourself and each other.
Somebody's like